This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Data message rates apply. National contest. It's new money in the new year. Every hour from 8 a.m. through 5 p.m. at the top of the hour.
How do you pay, man? If you don't write checks, how do you pay these guys?
Straight cash, homie.
Win a G, 1,000 bucks in straight cash, homie. Money, money in 2020.
More money, more money, more money.
And right now, get a G.
So it's time for this hour's cash code. Text TICKET, T-I-C-K-E-T, T-I-C-K-E-T, to 72881. That's TICKET to 72881. Another cash code's coming at you at 10 a.m. right here on the Jeff Calkins Show. Also, don't forget, if you miss a word, simply go to 92.9 FM ESPN on the radio.com app and use the rewind feature. One last time, text TICKET, T-I-C-K-E-T, to 72881. Good luck.
Now, 92.9 FM ESPN presents Memphis's biggest sports columnist.
You ain't got to do nothing, homeboy. You ain't writing nothing.
No, you ain't.
He ain't writing nothing. I ain't letting him write. He ain't getting no interviews.
It's the award-winning Jeff Calkins from the Daily Memphian and the Jeff Calkins Show.
I don't get no interview. I know. I'm good.
On 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is something they call a groundbreaker. So let me first apologize to the shirts and the ties for your makeup. Cause I make you ugly. As soon as it drops, we're on a rampage. Bubbles popping up before you know it. There's rubber in the dust, cause we'll be pushing it up. Somebody say,
you better run. Yeah! It's an earthquake.
Friday, and before we do anything else, we got to check in on the Memphis Grizzlies playoff race. Jeffrey, so tonight the Grizzlies have the Cavaliers here at FedEx Forum. I believe tickets are available if you want to get your piece of the jaw
experience.
Jaw experience. Yes, absolutely. Nothing like watching it unfold in person. But now we can look all around the league and see exactly what is happening. They're a game up. They're in eighth place. They're a game up on the hated San Antonio Spurs. And the Spurs have Atlanta tonight.
Indeed they do.
That's not good.
At home, you can. Ooh. That's a 7:30 start. So San Antonio has that weird start time.
This is a big. It's in order to keep pace. Now we can read words like keep pace. In order to keep pace, to stay ahead of the Spurs, kind of a must win tonight.
I mean, isn't every game, Jeff?
At this point,
I mean, I know
we're
taking it. I know you said yesterday that we're taking it one game at a time.
I'm not taking it one game at a time.
Okay, we threw that out.
I'm taking it.
We changed your game plan.
I'm taking it in 10 game segments.
Got it.
That's the other way coaches sometimes do it.
Yeah, we look at games. We break the season up into
pieces. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so a huge game tonight, and good tickets are still available. So meanwhile, New Orleans. Won in OT last night.
Indeed.
Brandon Ingram went off.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing how getting out of L.A. can liberate a man, you know?
Yes. Sometimes I can speak to it. It's free.
Exactly right. Mm-hmm. So he gets out of L.A., all of a sudden he's going nuts. Anyway, so New Orleans, they're like 2.5 back?
Three and a half
back?
I've got the standings right here. So the Grizzlies currently at the 8th spot have a full game lead on the Spurs.
Yeah.
They have a game and a half lead on
Portland?
The Trailblazers.
Yeah.
They
who's Portland got tonight?
Portland is at Dallas tonight. That's the ESPN Friday night game.
Ooh,
the 8:30 one.
Go Luka.
Go Luka.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's fine. Well, there's a chance to put another game between the Grizzlies and the Blazers.
Amen.
Tonight. A little more cushion, a little more space. And if you look at the Grizzlies' end of the season, they're going to need it.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right.
As Tiger Woods says, sometimes you just need a little cush.
Sometimes you just need a little cush.
Mm-hmm.
All right. They're a game and a half up on Portland.
Two games on Phoenix.
Two on Phoenix. Who's Phoenix got tonight?
Phoenix tonight has – well, last night they had the Knicks, which they won by 30. Yeah. Tonight they are not in action. Tomorrow,
okay.
Though, good news, Jeff.
Yep.
At Boston.
A little more cush.
A little more cush.
A little more cush.
Although last time we needed Boston.
Yeah, Boston's not been reliable.
Gosh. You had one job, guys.
One job.
And then they have right now a 3.5 game lead on the Pelicans.
And that means, you know what, that means Monday's game?
That's an opportunity for
a two-game swing.
Huge.
Two-game swing, and they're not playing Zion. You people looked at it all the wrong way.
Not us.
Not us. Do not be sad that Zion's not playing. Be happy that there's an opportunity for a little more cush.
Mm-hmm.
Memphis Grizzlies, a playoff. We will be keeping track of the Memphis Grizzlies playoff race from here on into the future. As we go forward in the Jeff Calkins Show. Indeed, we're so keyed into it that what we did was we got Jason Wexler on the show today. Jason Wexler is going to be joining us. He's president of the Grizzlies. Started as a fan, became president of business ops. Now he's president of the team.
That's quite the rise.
The man is as good career advisor, you know?
Mm-hmm.
He's
agent.
So he's going to join us in the second hour, 10:25 or so. We will talk to Jason Wexler, also, of course, about the MLK events, which have really already started in various ways. They're already doing service stuff and whatnot. But then there's an event conjunct with the Civil Rights Museum Sunday night on with Doug Williams and Grant Hill as part of that. They've got – who's coming in? It's Cheryl Swoops.
Cheryl Swoops,
Robert Parrish, the chief.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, then there's the symposium Monday, which if you're attending the game, you can go to the symposium. Always a good event. And then, of course, the game against the Pelicans on Monday. So we'll talk to Jason Wexler about all of that. You're making hand gestures,
Jeff,
as if something's happening.
Little breaking news here on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Yep.
It's powered by radio.com sports, brought to you by the mid-size Metris from Mercedes-Benz Vans. We have a medical update from the Memphis Grizzlies concerning Bruno Caboclo. During the Memphis Hustle game on Monday against the Santa Cruz Warriors, Caboclo hyperextended his left knee, causing him to exit the game. Subsequent imaging revealed a bone bruise, but no structural damage within the knee. He's expected to miss approximately 4 to 6 weeks while the bruise heals.
Are you surprised that a bruise would be out 4 to 6 weeks?
That surprised me, but at the same time, a bone bruise does seem remarkably painful.
Anyway, that's good. I guess that's good news.
No structural damage.
We'll call that good news. Anyway, so did I mention Jason Wexler is going to be on? He's going to be on as the playoff race continues apace. We're going backwards at this show. Chris Harrington is going to join us at 10 o'clock. We'll talk to him about the Grizzlies playoff race. And Jason Smith, who was sitting in the fancy seats last night for the Memphis Tigers game. Jason, that man, I knew him when he was a lowly prep writer.
Mm-hmm.
And now I look across the court, and there he is. There you go. So that is the show. Jason, then Chris, then Jason Wexler. We're doubling down on Jason's today. I did think that we should talk about what happened last night, where the Memphis Tigers defeated Cincinnati. And at the end of the game, and I give the student section, which is, let's be honest, a much maligned student section often, right? Don't you think people tend to rip the Memphis student section?
I do feel, though, almost every student section gets ripped, just in general. Yeah, I just feel like
One thing or another. Like, I thought the Wichita State student section was good. I'm not ripping the Memphis student section. I will say I do think it's a lot easier to go to games if the thing is on campus.
I agree.
I mean, it just is.
I totally agree.
They broke out into a cheer at the very end. It was, here's how it went. Just like football. Just like football. Just like, I could do this all day. Mm-hmm. That's a good cheer. Don't you give them credit for that?
I give them credit, and it's nice to be able to do that.
It is not, in the span of 6 weeks, ladies and gentlemen. Listen, this is Penny Hardaway's revenge. In the span of 6 weeks, Penny Hardaway, who once lost, of course, famously to Cincinnati four times within a single season, Memphis has now beaten Cincinnati three times in the span of 6 weeks. How about that? Football,
take that for data.
And now basketball. It was, I think you would say, not an aesthetically pleasing game.
I wouldn't consider it a work of art.
It was not an aesthetically pleasing game. But I would ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
Are we kind of underappreciating the accomplishments of Penny and this team?
I think that's fair to say. And I think the biggest reason is they're a darn near elite defensive team. And I just think part of what comes with elite defensive teams is not a particularly beautiful style of basketball, and it's more difficult to appreciate. But, I mean, they held a team, again, under 50 points.
Right. Yes. No, they're an elite defensive team without James Wiseman in the middle of it.
Yeah.
Right? He was supposed to
be.
They
guard so hard on the perimeter, and then Precious is just a monster.
And so that's true. But what I find is this phenomena of, and I do not exempt myself from it. People get so in, and maybe it's just because I'm watching on Twitter and I'm on the whatever. I'm all over social media during the game, seeing what people are saying, right?
Right.
And
the haven of rational responses.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm on Twitter too. Like, I'm as irrational as everybody. Here's the truth. I'm not even blaming anyone. What social media is immediate, right? And so you were reacting in that moment to that particular shot selection. So when Isaiah Maurice took that fadeaway, the game was getting close. Second half, Cincinnati was making a run, and Isaiah Maurice takes maybe of all the bad shots he's ever taken, it may have been the worst Isaiah Maurice shot ever. Like, really? Seriously?
That was his Mona Lisa.
That's the shot that you wanted in this moment? And so there's this outrage. Outrage at why he's in, outrage at and I just think that when you watch a Memphis game, we tend to get immersed in the things that are going wrong, right?
Yes.
And so and last night I would put them in two categories of what was going wrong. One,
number one,
the rotations frustrate people, right?
And that's putting it mildly.
In two ways. First of all, why do so many people have to play? Penny played 11 players in the first half of the first half, right?
Yes.
Why? Like, why? And then Memphis is up 9. I think it was 9. Memphis is up in the second half. No, Memphis is up by 11 early in the second half, okay? Now, why not put your foot on the throat at that point, right? And instead, in come Isaiah Maurice and Lance Thomas. And the next thing you know, they're up by 3.
Yeah.
And people are like, why? Just stop it. Like when this team has the right players on the floor, it's not quite the elite destructive force that you would have thought it would have been with James Wiseman that we talked about in the Bahamas. Like, my God, they're going to be scary, whatever. You've got a lot of really gifted players. They're very good when the right players are on the floor. And so it's so frustrating to people when you have, like, why? Why? Why do you have to play 11 players?
I think that question.
And I understand the pace is they play at a higher pace.
It is, but I just, I don't know. I don't think that's a reasonable excuse. I think that there's still some.
Well, the question is, will it cost him ultimately? You know, it didn't. But okay, so that's one area of frustration. There's this whole rotations, right?
And right. The Tigers were up 15, by the way, at eight with the 18 with 18 minutes to go in the game. And then they got at one point down three. It was like an 18-0 run.
Yeah, but at the time they made the subs.
Correct.
It was, they were, at the time that Isaiah Maurice and Lance Thomas came in, and I'm not trying to single them out. I'm doubling them out. That's why I put in two of them.
We're not trying to. We are.
At that moment, and then they immediately went, so the lead was cut to three. At the moment they then subbed out, the lead was three. And so fans are like, oh, my God, what if they lose this game? That's one category of frustration. The separate category of frustration is, like, some of the passing is just comically reckless in the second half. So, anyway, they come out, and in come the elite, the A-team, right? In comes the A-team. And immediately the lead balloons back up to nine because the A-team's
good. Wait. Say that again.
Out goes the bad, okay. In comes the good,
uh-huh.
Okay?
And it stayed the same?
The lead goes immediately back up to nine, okay? So, but then once it's there, then they go all, woohoo, we're awesome. And all of a sudden, Malcolm Dandridge throws one into the fourth row.
Mm-hmm.
Tyler Harris throws one into the fourth row.
Keeping them on their toes.
A-Lo.
I do like that they don't leave any doubt on some of these passes.
Oh, no. Someone suggested to me that they put up a net around the court just for liability purposes. So
the hockey net?
People don't get hurt. Right, exactly.
It's a safety concern.
And so those are, I think, the two primary areas of frustration. On the part of the players, it's, oh, come on, man. Seriously, the decision-making. And on part of the staff, it's like, why? Okay? The larger point is this. We get so sidetracked by those frustrations that we don't actually appreciate. Like, in the end, you know what's frustrating? In the end, what's frustrating is if you are Kentucky and you are favored over South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And you...
They won, right?
And you actually lose the game. What is frustrating is if you are Wichita State and you're 4.5-point favorite over Temple and you lose the game. What's frustrating is if you're Duke and you're an 11-point favorite over Clemson and you lose the game. And this is the point that GP was making yesterday on his show, as made before, which is that this team, criticize them all you want for the micro stuff, but in a macro way, this team is awesome at doing what nobody else in college basketball seems to be able to do, which is winning the games that they're favored to win. They are now 32-2. Saluki Blue is the one who offered up this stat yesterday when they were 31-2. Now they become 32-2. 32-2 as a favorite. 32-2
as
a favorite. And they're not always favored by a dozen. Like, they're favored. Like yesterday they were favored by four. And they not only did they win, you can be frustrated all you want. Not did they win, they covered easily. They won by 11. So why focus on the micro when you can focus on, my God, macro, this team is unbelievable. The only two losses they've had as a favorite are to Georgia. And that one, let's be honest, has to come with a little bit of a caveat because DJ Jeffries, right before the game, you're already down James Wiseman. All of a sudden, DJ Jeffries is ill.
No, there's definitely a footnote.
That one is a footnote. So then the only game that they have lost as a favorite, which did not have extenuating circumstances, was against Tulsa last year when they were a 2.5-point favorite.
Yes.
Essentially a pick 'em. That's the only game they have lost as a favorite without extenuating circumstances. For a coach who was like, oh, Penny's going to be in over his head. Penny's going to, he's AAU coach. He's going to roll out the basketball, whatever else. Is he going to be able to do this? Going to be a big transition. Not coaching against the big boys now. He's going to coach the little guys now. This is an East High School. The guy just never, now mind you, watch you, they're going to lose to Tulsa. The guy never loses games that he's supposed to win.
It's actually a pretty good investment strategy, too. The Tigers are also pretty good at when they're favored, they cover.
When they're favored, they cover. It's really impressive. It's impressive, A, on three fronts. One, Penny's supposed inexperience, although maybe it's time everyone listened to him. In Memphis, we do now. We did at the outset. But around the country, listen to the fact that, oh, he didn't just fall off the turnip truck. He actually did play, I think, 18 years in the NBA and then coached high school and knows a little something about all of this. But A, his youth is an experience. B, the players. You've got this team. This is not a veteran team that is not dropping games it shouldn't. This is a incredibly young team that has been nailing down every game they're supposed to, which is amazing. And then thirdly, you put on the sort of psychological buffeting that they have taken with the trials that they have been through with the Wiseman stuff. And we forget Ryan Boyce left this team. Lester Kanonis was hurt. Precious gets banged up. DJ gets sick. But the Wiseman thing being the biggest one, that is at the very least a distraction, and yet nothing seems to distract them. So I do think we should maybe focus and applaud and appreciate the big picture more than the frustrations internally, because those frustrations don't seem to cost them. Maybe will ultimately cost them. I don't know. How do you balance that? Like, how do you balance how much criticism? Because you think the rotations are a little crazy too, right?
Yes.
So how much time do you spend criticizing the rotations when in the end you play to win the game and they're winning the game? Whatever he's doing is working by definition.
I think you have to look at it this way. And I am with you. If you take the logic, well, we were winning, so it was working, that's fine. But admittedly, that was how they got to the position that he mentioned after the Wichita State game, which is, okay, well, I didn't change anything up because we were winning, but now it's obvious you have to change things up. I don't think that just because you're winning, that doesn't mean that you can't self-evaluate. Is that a fair way to say that?
Right.
And I think inevitably there is a way to make sure that you have your better players on the floor for a longer period without risking fatigue, we're not saying
How about this? How about playing? I'm just devil's our advocate here. How about you got to play these dudes because in the end, you're going to need them. And so you can't just, listen, Ryan Boyce has already left the team, right? And James Wiseman has already left the team. And in the end, it's not the deep team it once was. And so you don't throw other people overboard, at least sort of mentally, right? What are you going to say? Isaiah Maurice, you're never playing again. Jaden Hardaway, you're never playing again.
My counter to that would be,
and then you say you just have Isaiah Maurice sulking over the bench the whole time, and you're never playing him. I'm just being devil's advocate here. So you've got to. That's exactly when you play them. When you're up 11, we'll give Isaiah a little run here.
I would argue up 20s when you should play them. And right. to me, the guy that I think could still elevate this team to the highest level is one of the guys that played the least last night.
Right, it's Boogie. So Boogie played. That was the other what happened is Boogie played 8 minutes and 30. It is true. If I was thinking about this team and the rotations, now of course you played Isaiah Maurice last night because Cincinnati's big,
right?
And
that was a matchup. That had more to do with matchup than some type of stubbornness or perceived stubbornness. That had to do with what was on the floor.
Yep. So that's why he played more minutes than Boogie. I do think you don't throw Boogie overboard because Boogie, there is hope that Boogie becomes something other than what he's been. Right.
If you look at the best offensive performance of the year, it was probably the first half against NC State, and I don't think that it's a coincidence that that was Boogie Ellis's best performance.
Right. He was very good then. And so you keep playing Boogie for the reasons I said originally, that you can't just have five players, and Boogie is a guy that you could see being important to the cause over the long haul, right? Whereas for a lot of people, they have a hard time imagining Isaiah, or let's be honest, Jaden, being important to the cause over the long haul this year, right?
Yes.
People don't. It is an interesting thing. When Isaiah Maurice when you see him about to take a shot, there is an audible groan in FedEx Forum. When Boogie Ellis winds up to, is you know, set to take a shot. It's this encouragement. It's like, come on, Boogie. You can almost feel like in the like hoping it goes in. It's funny, like, because they're both playing badly. The shots are probably not going in for either of them. But it's a very different feel in terms of the fan reaction. Isaiah was 2 of 6 last night. Boogie was 0 of 3 last night. And yet, when Boogie shoots it, there's no resentment. There's no, I can't believe he's shooting.
Yes.
From the fan. There's no, then that vibe does not come off the fan, from the fan base. Whereas when Isaiah's shooting it, that vibe does come from the fan base. So, this will be an interesting thing to watch going forward, and we'll talk to Jason Smith about it as well when he joins us in the next segment. In terms of what was good and what was less good last night, I thought the best news was that DJ Jeffries was back, right? Comes out, hits threes immediately.
Set the tone from the start.
Yeah, set the tone from the start. You need DJ being aggressive. He can be a really effective player. And if you're going to be at your highest level, you need DJ being that DJ. He played 33 minutes. He was 6 of 13. He was 4 of 10 from 3. He did set the tone. He was really good. 18 points to lead the team in scoring. Thank God DJ's back. That was probably the lead to what was best last night.
I would agree.
Secondly, Precious Achiuwa was awesome again. Another double-double. 3 straight double-doubles. Anyway, set the AAC record for consecutive double-doubles last night. And
it's to the point now when he gets a double-double that you just, like, it's expected.
There is no question that is true. And honestly, he would get more rebounds, except for the guy who we're going to talk about next. Malcolm Dandridge is in there now to get more, but he was 12 and 11. He had 2 assists. He had a steal. He had 2 blocks. He's just a monster. And you just feel so much better when Precious is in there. So Precious was really good. But Malcolm Dandridge.
The theater?
Really good last night. And I didn't know he could pass as well as he did.
I also didn't realize.
Kicking out for that corner three, driving and kicking out for the corner three.
I think he's getting healthier because I think he looks like he's moving
much,
much
more comfortable.
Yes.
Much more comfortable, much more confident, setting the picks. He's setting the screen. He's up and down
the floor.
He ended up with 4 assists, 4 steals, 3 blocks. 3 blocks, 4 steals, 4 assists, and 7 rebounds. For Malco. So, yes, the theater. And, he was tremendous. He was absolutely tremendous. Lester was good, hit big shots. Alo fine. Tyler was 1 of 5 from 3. Damian Baugh threw a dime, an absolute.
Yeah, I said it on Twitter last night, like when I had a little time to decompress and think about it. It's the only pass this year for me that can even be in the same category as Lomax's pass against Ole Miss. Remember when he threw like that full court pass that like led to a layup that Damian's pass was a fastball, one-handed, no look with his offhand. That was ridiculous. And it hit Precious. It split Precious's hands and he turned right in and dunked it. Like, it was such a good play.
Damian and Boogie are the two who played. Now, mind you, Damian played 14:52, and Boogie played 8:37. Those are the two who you hope can be better than they've been, right? There is hope that they can grow into something over the course of the season that is better than they've been. And Jaden Hardaway, although, like, he did hit a big three. Like, that's true. He did hit a big three. Anyway, it was a slugfest. It was and they won comfortably. That's the thing, and we have not mentioned the technical. Coach absolutely destroyed his team last night. There's no question about that. John Brannon, absolutely. The lead had been cut to 4.
Yeah.
And Cumberland goes in, takes a shot, clearly gets hacked.
A couple times.
What did it look like on TV?
A couple times you could have called 2 bodies or you could have called the hack. But, hey.
Yeah.
Sometimes you get a call.
Clearly he gets hacked, and John Brannon just lost his mind, and you got called for the tee, and that they did not score another bucket until, this was with 3 minutes left, game was 4, and they did not score again until the lead was 11, I think. They went on a 10-0 run. Memphis went on a 10-0 run after that, and that basically put the game out of reach. Afterward, he said,
"Do as I say, not as I do."
He said, "No." He said, "I didn't think it affected the game. They were going to score a layup anyway. But A, they weren't necessarily going to score a layup. B, they got the technicals, and then they got the basket on that same possession. Mm-hmm. And it totally took the air out of that team. 100%." 10-0 run.
We don't tell these stories, Jeff. We tell our story.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. So he very clearly, and it's sweet to beat Cincinnati. Like, that is sweet to beat Cincinnati. So congratulations to the Memphis Tigers, and congratulations to you if you're gonna find yourself at Robert Irwin Jewelers this weekend, because you can go on a treasure hunt. They have now at the four locations here in Memphis and the one in North Little Rock, they have a born-on date on the jewelry in the store, and you go and you look at the born on date, and then you look at you look at the chart, and depending on when the born on date is, the longer that piece of jewelry has been in the store, discount up to 70%, 30% anyway. Like 30% is the newer stuff, but 70% discount for some things. And let's be honest, it's not like because they're under everything there is beautiful. Could be because it's colossally expensive, right? Like, I'd love that, but I can't afford it. Well, now you can have with 70% off, you can afford it.
Now we're talking,
baby. So head on in for a treasure hunt at any of the four Robert Irwin Jewelers locations. I go to the one that's right across from Novel, but they have three other locations in Memphis again, another one in North Little Rock. Go on and go on your own little treasure hunt there at Robert Irwin Jewelers. Valentine's Day is coming up. Do not waste any time. Do not tarry. When we come back, Jason Smith is going to join us, then Chris Harrington, then Jason Wexler here on the Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
It's Howie from Robert Irwin Jewelers. What is your New Year's resolution this year?
I'm going to trim it down. I'm going to trim my inventory down. I'm going to trim my waist down. I'm trimming it all down.
How much?
Oh, I think I got it about a good 30 to 70% off anything that's in our jewelry showcases during our Santa surplus sale, and it's going on right now.
And with Valentine's Day just being a month away,
it's a great time to go shopping for engagement rings, especially at a great price. You got to get to Robert Irwin Jewelers, get free financing, sale going on at all locations. You can't get this online, folks.
Today, the demand for data analytics professionals is high. The computer and IT sector is projected to grow 12% through 2024. That's nearly 500,000 new jobs. If you're a degreed professional interested in advancing your career in technology, you should check out CBU's data analytics-focused Master of Science in Computer Information Systems or our Data Analytics Graduate Certificate. Learn more about these tech-focused programs on our website at cbu.edu/GEP. That's cbu.edu/GEP.
Mercedes-Benz of Memphis doesn't just have employees. They have families, more than 90 of them, actually. So if you want to own a vehicle that you'll love and deal with a family-owned business that treats people like people, not like customers, this is Gary Parrish encouraging you to go visit Mercedes-Benz of Memphis at 5389 Poplar. I own a Mercedes. Favorite car I've ever driven. Once you have one, you'll never want anything else. And though it's obviously a luxury vehicle, trust me, they're more affordable than most think. Better yet, don't trust me. Go see for yourself. 5389 Poplar is the address. That's Mercedes-Benz of Memphis, our city's original Mercedes dealership.
92.9 FM ESPN presents the Cardinals Caravan. Prizes plus Cardinals players and alums free at AutoZone Park in downtown Memphis.
Cardinal baseball on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Hey, it's Brad Carson. Join me January 17th at 6:30 at AutoZone Park with the Memphis Redbirds with Cardinals broadcaster Tom Ackerman, the Memphis Redbirds. Cardinal stars like Jack Flaherty and Cardinals alums like Bo Hart.
More details at 92.9ESPN.com.
That's the Cardinals Caravan on Friday, January 17th at 6:30 at AutoZone Park.
Reckon we ought to find a spot to watch the Irishman versus the Cowboy UFC match. What about Laughlin Yard?
Bollocks! Highland Axe and Rec is the place to watch McGregor vs. Cerrone.
Dead Gummit Dinner's Rec Room.
And don't forget about the big screens at Rail Garden.
You ninny? There are big screens at all four venues, plus food and drink specials. And it's a hell of a lot cheaper than streaming the match at home.
So get your arses to Rec Room, Laughlin Yard, Rail Garden, or Highland Axe and Rec for the UFC McGregor Cerrone bout. Action starts at 9 p.m. Saturday, January 18th.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Time for an oil change? We're ready to help at AutoZone. We've got more ways to help you protect your engine and your wallet, like our great deals on STP oil, starting at just $16.99 for a 5-quart jug of STP conventional motor oil. And if you need a tool for the job, you can borrow over 100 specialty ones with our free AutoZone Loan-A-Tool program. Getting the job done just got easier. Visit AutoZone.com to get started. Deposit required. Restrictions apply.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
From shredding to printing, the UPS Store does every ink for small business. And of course, shipping. And this holiday, when the other guys are closing, we're doing another ing altogether. Opening. So while we're busy notarizing and faxing, consulting and mailboxing, packing and shipping, well, they're not really doing much of any ing. Opening this holiday, the UPS Store. Every ing for small business. And of course, shipping. The UPS Store franchise locations are independently owned and operated. Services, pricing, and hours may vary. See center for details.
Broadcasting live from the Triumph Bank Studios, invested in our communities, making banking easy for you. Let's talk growth. Triumph Bank. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
By Jason Smith. Jason, so there I am and sitting courtside, and I look across the court, and you're also sitting courtside.
Not as well dressed as you, though. Maybe a better seat, but not as well dressed as you.
Yeah, you're just trying to turn the tables here. I was wearing a sport coat from O'Call. O'Call is not on my list. I will tell you.
Go right ahead.
It is weird. I just must have looked like a homeless person once upon a time, because it is incredible how many comments I got. I got comments last night from, of course, Scott Morris from Church Health commented. Just people out of the blue commented. The congressman, Steve Cohen, was there, commented on my jacket. Jason commented on my jacket. At least two or three other people commented on my – how – when is that – I didn't even know people noticed that much, but people notice, and this is the blue Monroe sport coat.
You have really cleaned up.
That I wouldn't have gotten if Paul hadn't said – it's just a brighter blue than I would have –
Did he say trust me and do this?
He said do this.
Oh, he was so right for you.
That's why expertise, like, matters.
And were you worried that it was going to be, hey,
just
look
like,
at
this
me?
Is not me.
No,
like, it's
no.
Too – it's a little – It's not like bright blue.
Real talk.
But it's just a little brighter than usual.
Real talk. You could tell in the compliments last night that they were genuine, right? And it wasn't just people blowing smoke
absolutely.
Saying, hey, old Jeff, now you're dressed up. That's the thing, is that jacket was.
Oh, yeah, where are you going? You got a funeral? No, it wasn't that.
He told you right. That jacket was phenomenal. So I felt very, very well dressed yesterday, Jeff.
Well, you kill us all now.
You're stunting, as the kids say.
You've turned the tables.
You have leveled up.
You're over there with the 1%ers.
You are dripping every night now.
You're there with the 1%ers. Over there.
Irish Mike, man. I mean, keep in mind, the guest. You can see it written all over my face. It's pounded on my forehead. You can tell when I'm over there because I'm looking around. Like, holy cow, these rich seats are nice.
Do they bring you food?
Well, they asked. No, you still got to pay for it. My gosh.
You still got to pay for it.
But you know what? You can see sort of the, let's be real, what the rich folks do. And so Ja Morant's coming through there.
Oh yeah, Ja was there last night.
And
Daryl Henderson also there last
night. I look up and you know who would like to shake Ja Morant's hand? Alan Graf, right? And all that money is touching each other. You know, you can see it up close. You know what I'm saying? And real recognizes real when you got that kind of, you know what I'm saying?
So what happens there? Does Ja know who Alan Graf is?
They probably tell him is what it looked like, or maybe he already knew. He's probably already met Alan Graf in their circles. And so, yeah, there's a sort of a fist bump and a recognition of excellence there on both sides.
A rich guy handshake.
Brother. You see it up close. And so, but anyway, I just need to thank Irish Mike for the seat, but I'm so grateful when I can see it all up close there.
Are the 1%ers happy with this team? Do they also gripe about the rotations?
I was listening to you coming in. You can, you know, the rotations thing, why are you playing so many? I've heard they would have won by 20 if he tightens it up,
right?
But something's going on with that, too, in the sense that nobody's shot over 41% on this team like the last 10 games. Nobody's shot over 50% on them all season long,
even
Oregon. So okay, maybe there's a middle ground, right? Playing that many guys, right?
It leads to the elite defense.
It leads to being able to turn up, right, when you need to. And defensively, we know what? They are elite. They are elite. However, I can't say yesterday and the day before that I think naturally we'll see a tightening up of the rotation and say too yesterday, and I think that'll be good for this team and cut down on turnovers and come in here today and say, no, I don't think that's a problem. I think there's a little bit of a middle ground there, and naturally you will see. I was surprised that Isaiah Maurice was back out. Now, look, Penny had said what? He wasn't 100% last game when they didn't play him. That's what I said too. Matchups, though, I guess it looks, you know, it makes some sense to play him. And here's the bigger part. Here's the reason he's out there yesterday. It pulls Vogt. It's not Voigt. I learned yesterday listening to Jay Billis. It's Chris Vogt, the 7-footer. When you have Isaiah in there, unlike when you've got Dandridge in there, you can pull out Vogt because they've got to respect Isaiah's three-point shooting ability, at least to the point that he's out of the paint. Loosens it up for Precious. That's why he's out there. Dandridge doesn't do that part. That's it. Whoo, you saw this team's better when Dandridge is on the floor. My goodness, was he active yesterday.
He was great last night.
Yes, he was.
I didn't know that was – the only – I saw him play in that game at the Landers Center the day – was that the day that Wiseman committed?
Yeah.
It was the day that Wiseman committed. There was a big game at the Landers Center.
So was that East versus Olive Branch?
It was East versus Olive Branch.
Yeah, that's what it was. We were all there.
Yeah, right, uh-huh. That one. Mm-hmm. And Malcolm was unbelievable in that
flying.
Game.
Flying.
Right. But people told me he's never looked this good before ever. Like that this
really?
Is that good. Like that level. He looked like the best player on the court.
Well,
night.
That's what they're maybe telling you, right, is that he's not the best player on the floor.
Yeah, no, that's that we're saying he isn't good.
They're a thoroughbred.
But last night, what surprised me is like he's the passer that he is.
Playmaker. I told you when he was with Wiseman, it was almost like he was a guard. And what you gotta remember is there last year. They didn't have Alex Lomax. I've told you this before. So a lot of what they did is him and James setting each other up. Now, they still had their – but it wasn't Alex Lomax setting them up. So a lot of what they had to do was set each other up. And he's already high IQ. You can tell that when he's playing ball. But he's also a great playmaker, right? And he's more – he at his size, such a great athlete. You see him get up and down the floor. And have you ever seen a freshman who only scores 3 points in that game, I think it was, affect the game the way he did? Because, look, it wasn't just the points. What do you have? 7 rebounds, 4 steals, 3 blocks. I mean, he was everywhere.
Assists, steals,
and
blocks.
He's getting out high and starting breaks by getting, you know, deflecting passes into the post.
He was driving. Like he would take
Isaiah
the ball
Maurice
to the
and Lance
rim.
Thomas
and then,
don't do that, right? They don't start breaks with steals out high. Malcolm is making plays like a guard at that size in terms of defensively, and it starts you up. That athleticism just jumps off the freaking court.
He'd be more Tariq Blackish, sort of standard big man, but he's not at all.
No, Tariq was much better moving you, right, and taking
right.
his back.
He was a back
space
of the basket big, right?
Malcolm is an athlete at 6'8", 225, or whatever
he is. Because of the injury, we just hadn't seen that.
He hadn't been able to go, you know, to sort of air it all out and go full, you know, but we're seeing him get close to that, and that's why you've seen Penny realize I'm better off doing that and sort of getting him up to speed because we're a better team when he's on the floor in terms of everything we want to do. Last night, Isaiah Maurice, because of matchups, as you guys identified, I think you see him out there a little more. But Malcolm's going to be the guy you're trying to get ready. And Precious talked about it after the game. He takes so much pressure off of Precious, having another guy down there that's going to be a threat, whether it's on the defensive end blocking shots or offensively. He's going to get junk baskets, and you got to defend him. It takes so much pressure, a guy that's going to be that active next to you. And Precious realized it.
So are you now – you're now – okay with the rotations, or
to finish that up. There's a nice little middle ground. Yeah, look, Jaden hit a big shot yesterday, but is he gonna?
He only played 5 minutes. Do you object to the 5 minutes?
Not if he's gonna hit the big shot, you know. And yesterday the three came in a big time at a crucial time. Did it cost them in a game they won by 11? You could say in the second half there's part of that game where you're saying, all right, you know, you're looking good right now, and they start to lose some of it. And again, I think it's Penny. Sort of playing his guys, right? Playing, kind of.
He's committed to playing them.
Throwing
clearly,
waves of guys at him. And again, last night, part of it, I think, again, you don't have Isaiah Maurice in that game, if not for the matchups, but you're playing those waves of guys. And look, defensively, what's Cincinnati shoot? 30%. They got to worry about all those matchups and dudes that are coming in, right? While I mean, you know, it's funny. I'll make the point this way. Penny said after the game that they're coaching their butts off. It's right. funny, right, when you hear, right. you hear a coach, we're in right. our huddle, we're coaching our butts off.
Right.
At the end of that game.
Mike was really engaged last night, I will say that.
It was his scout.
Yeah, it was his scout.
You can tell the ones that are his scout, he's more engaged.
Right.
There were 4 freshmen and 1 sophomore on the floor in that game. And if you watched, I was going to talk about this on my show. Might as well talk about it here. Lester Quinones, at the end of that game, when he is all up in Cumberland to the point that Brandon's already had the tech, the whole team's frustrated. It's really the breaking point. Cincinnati's right there to be pushed over the edge. And Lester Quinones, because he's all up in Cumberland, right? Cumberland's already frustrated. Right. He gets Cumberland to push him. They go down together. There's no call, but the ref's watching it. Cumberland bounces back up. He's going to reestablish position on this young freshman,
right?
The 6'5" freshman that's challenging him. And when he does that in a frustrated way, he puts his forearm again into Quinones, who got back up just as fast as the senior did. And you get the offensive foul, and for all intents and purposes, the game is over, because by that time, since he hadn't scored in a while because of Brandon's tech, the whole team's frustrated. That's a freshman doing that to the reigning player of the year. And it was the entire team. It's DJ Jeffries after he goes under a screen on Cumberland early on, and they take the lead. That's the Cumberland three. I'm pretty sure that gave him a one-point lead. DJ comes back, hits a couple of threes, one of them in Cumberland's face. It's a freshman answering a senior. And again, it's Malcolm Dandridge down the stretch. It is four freshmen and a sophomore. I'm pretty sure that sophomore down the stretch was Alex Lomax, if I'm not mistaken. And here's another thing about these turnovers. 15 turnovers for Alex Lomax in the last three games. That's uncharacteristic. Like, your main guy is sort of at the head.
Yeah.
And I think
I still feel more comfortable when he's in there.
The whole team is. You can't survive with him off the floor. And that was part of it yesterday.
Right.
These rotation questions, a lot of it is just when Lomax is off the floor, they just don't get into their stuff as well. And so you almost have to live with the five turnovers. And keep in mind, with those, you had a sort of game winning. I think that Lomax layup came after the Quinones play.
It was right after the techs. It was right after the technicals. The layup came right after the technicals.
Makes it an 8-point game there, 6-point game, and sort of helps you finish
it
off.
It ended it.
You need Lomax on the floor.
Made it.
But the point is that quite frankly, they are coaching their butts off with a freshman-laden team, the youngest team in the country that lost James Wiseman for the season.
To your point, they don't lose games they're not supposed to.
They're doing this with a freshman-laden team that's had guys out, DJ Jeffries out, and yet here they are, one of the best defensive teams in the country. And at least if you can hang on your hat on that, young but elite defensively, you figure the offensive stuff out, and that's sort of what they're doing.
Lester's really fun, too. Like, he's really good.
Dude, he is intense. I wasn't ready for I didn't know you were buying into the, not just a shooter, but a guy that can get under another team's skin and sort of be that guy.
And loves doing it very clearly.
My goodness. He just enjoys that part of his game.
After that moment you said, he's smiling like he is so happy.
No, he clapped it up. He's doing this, and that gets under
the skin, too.
That helps mentally crush. And that's a Cincinnati team. Let's keep it real. I know under first-year coach, but a more veteran unit. I mean, the 7-footer is coming over. What's he, a junior coming over from Northern Kentucky to transfer? You got Cumberland, who's a senior. And Trevon Scott's in there. He started at power forward. Yep. He's a senior. I mean, that's a bunch of freshmen punking out at the end of the game, or at least we'll put it this way, frustrating the mess out of a veteran Cincinnati team. Pretty impressive.
It does make you wonder what this team. We have this year to worry about. I don't need to think about next year, and I don't know who's going to be here next year. But if you have all the Memphis kids, right? So if you have Malcolm back, if you have Alo back, if you have Tyler back, if you have DJ back, now you won't have Precious, obviously.
Going to have to have some answers
Lester,
in the middle. That's going to be critical.
But Malcolm can be a big part of that.
But you're so encouraged by what Dandridge is doing.
That's the thing.
It's another reason to go ahead and get him playing and up to speed right now, thinking about next season.
And obviously you'll add Isaiah Stokes next year as well.
We'll be good in a different kind of body in there. You know, you're not going to get pushed around by Cincinnati anytime that Isaiah's in the game.
Right.
And that's the difference now. I mean, that's how you beat Cincinnati, and that's the other part of it that was encouraging to see, was Memphis was able to be what it needed to be physical against what Cincinnati always is.
And where are you on Boogie?
You just got to keep them rolling out there. You know, what they're going to have to do is, rather than saying, okay, Boogie, just go get it, you know, run a couple, you know, run him off some curls.
He had wide open shots last night.
You're right, and they can't do anything about that. And I like that approach. Like, you got to go with the guys that are rolling, right? That said, you don't want to lose him either. And he hasn't been a factor now offensively in about 5 straight games. Okay, you're up to 5 now. You want to get him going because you know he's good. This isn't just a guy who was overrated. It's not time to write Boogie off. You've seen this guy go.
Well, it's funny because I was talking to various people in the media room last night. I said, what do we think is happening with Boogie? And there were two schools of thought. One is in his head, but then there was another school of thought that, yes, he's not playing as well as he can,
but he also shouldn't have been a top 50 player to begin with. He's not. I don't know.
He's a top 50 scoring talent in high school the year he's coming out. I mean, come on.
Right.
We've seen him light it up, and he's pressing.
Well, here's the other thing.
We watch this all the time. There's no.
We watched it last year with A-Lo.
Literally,
people are ready to throw him in the garbage.
He's scared to shoot it. You can right. see it on their face. Right. You can see the wheels turning in their head. And Boogie's not going to even hesitate. He's going to keep shooting it. Right now, it's just not dropping it. You can see him, right? It's another nice thing about sitting as close as it'd be so grateful for that. You can see him right after he misses a shot. F word. Like he's, you know, it's.
Oh, does he?
He knows it's on him. Yes. He's frustrated with himself.
Did he literally audibly curse?
Yes, just like any, you know, and it's not, you know, I don't blame him for that.
No, I'm not blaming him at all. I didn't realize
it's the frustration of not hitting a shot when it's a good look.
He's obviously thinking about it.
He's pressing too hard. It's going to come for Boogie, and he will make this team a whole lot better. A team that's right now getting its offensive options back. DJ back in the fold. Lester last night is back. It's a big three from the ear of the Tiger. My gosh, that three of his was deep. I rewatched it again, and Jay Billis pointed out that thing was about from the ear of the Tiger.
How much did you watch the whole broadcast again?
No, I watched the second half when it got close because I wanted to go back and watch.
What were they saying on the national TV broadcast there? It's funny
how Jay Billis does. I examine him, and you know the way you can sort of criticize Memphis for the whole Tubby thing coming here and
did he?
This is back a few weeks ago when he comes in the first time. He's all lovey dovey with Penny. Right. Oh, right. It's great now, right? But in another example is last night, you know, when Memphis lets Cincy get back to that, I think it's an 18-6 run for Cincy to start the second half. They've retaken the lead. And all of a sudden, it's, Wichita State's probably the favorite in this thing. And I get the way he rolls, but by the end of the game, when the freshmen are rolling again, he's back on board. And it's, oh, my gosh, look at all this talent. You know, he kind of rolls with
really?
The – Yeah, he just kind of rolls with the flow. Now, most of the time, don't get me wrong, Billis is a genius. And right. most of the time, he's
well,
right.
Well, his NCAA stuff is tremendous, way that he takes on the NCAA.
Well, we've all kind of figured it out that the NCAA is crooked now, so we don't, you know, Billis is.
Right, but as a guy who works for ESPN, as a leader, it's significant to do that.
What you noticed was that
He's whatever's happening, he's very quick to go with that. He jumps off
when he wants to. And anyway, all that talent's still there, Billis, even when they're down by one to a veteran Cincinnati team. It's all still there.
What were they saying about Precious?
Oh, he loves him. Hell, he did the 90 feet down. That's the other great thing about going back. He did the, I think it's 90 feet with whatever his feature is. He walked down Beal with Precious.
With Precious.
Some of the questions were a little weak, I thought, from Billis, who criticized himself. I'll give him right. You know, you ask, where'd your name come from? And Billis even said, "So it comes from your parents." You know what I'm saying? Billis said, "I should have asked him the origin of that. I realized I asked him a stupid question." But yeah, you know, he gives him the Precious, and his brother's name's God's Gift. And anyway, there, you know, we got some. He didn't get to the DNA of Precious like I thought Jay Billis is capable of doing. Yeah, he came up a little short on that one.
Well, there you go. Yeah. All right, last question. What did we started talking about my drip? At the beginning of this. What'd you think of Jaws drip last night? Jaws wearing the sweatsuit with the hoodie up and on.
He's a
gray.
You know what that means? He's grinding.
Is that what that means?
Yeah, when he's got the hoodie on, he's not trying to be, you know, it's more, he knows he's there. Like he could because the come on, it's like a pebble when you throw it into the water. Like
oh,
there's a pool
there's
of reaction
no Jaws sitting
as
there,
he walks
like,
through.
Now.
Dude, he has got the it factor. He really does. I mean, there's no question about it. So he's a work. He's thinking about Cleveland. He's here, right? Probably because he wants to support. But he's working, man. He's only thinking about ball.
Don't you think he's here because he's thinking about ball? Like, isn't
he's
that why he was there last night? Because he's always thinking about ball
watches
and he likes
ball.
Watching ball.
Like, that's what they say about KD. And I think KD sometimes he takes a step back because you're so worried about what people think about you on ball. You know what I mean?
Right.
But yes, Ja, you can tell, is all ball all the time, and that's the sense I get is that he's like a boxer, man. He's ready to come out tonight and. That's the thing about this team. They learn so quickly. And because they lost to this Cleveland team, what was it? Lost by 7 up there, a game they should have won. I think Kevin Love gave them the lead last minute with a 3. You figure they're going to smash this team because they did that to Golden State. They learned the lesson, and then they seem to learn from it. And I ain't saying all lessons are learned, Jeff. You'll see some setbacks to the young team. But, dude, they are coming on fast.
What I find amazing is
smash
how in the last 2 weeks, like, we would always note if there was a game a particular night, and we would note the Grizzlies' schedule, and we'd say they're playing a so-and-so tonight, et cetera. But now you almost can't wait between games.
A superstar makes you watch.
Yeah, we are looking forward to the opportunity to watch again. Like, okay, that happened the last time. Now we get to – it's like when you're binge-watching a TV series and you can't wait to get to the next episode. This is tonight. It's the next episode.
Part of it is because they're in the playoff hunt and they've won seven straight. But the big part of it, we all know deep down, is because we've got a superstar.
Yeah.
And we want to see what he's going to do next.
You want to see what's going to happen next.
It's a different feeling than ever, I'm telling you. Yeah. You got to go back to like D. Rose and Penny Hardaway type stuff. This is
what do you think of the comp of a shorter Penny Hardaway as Ja?
You know.
If you had to pick one player, he's hard for one player.
This is where they're alike. Violent athletically.
Uh-huh.
Vision.
Right.
That's where the two are alike. The rest of it, Penny posted up.
Right.
You know, Ja, you know, it's a different game for Ja. Coming in, Penny, you know, Penny was efficient coming in. Ja's doing a different way. He's, you know, getting to the basket all the time. Penny, you know, that's where it ends.
Penny
for
didn't
me.
Have the handle in that way. Like, he's not going behind it as much as Ja does. He now, wasn't Jason
nice
Williams.
Handle. Great handle
great
for
handle.
The size.
For the size. But,
yeah,
he's
but this
got,
dude's yeah, this dude's electric and blowing by you.
But it's that combination that I think makes Ja unique is the combination of athletic and vision, right? Yeah. Explosive athletically and
Penny,
vision.
Penny.
And Penny had that same
so violent
combination.
Athletically early on, and I think it was always coming down on those knees. Because, again, he was coming up from – I mean, you look at the early Penny. He is – when he gets to the rim, he's trying to tear it off like Lorenzen did.
Right.
You know, in a way. Anyway, I think it was some of that led to the knee trouble. But Ja's got some of that in him. The great thing now is we don't play Ja as much as a rookie as they play Penny early on. You log those 36,
certain,
37
right.
on those rooks then. What's Ja getting, 29? I mean, that's the part about it, and you hope that
– 37 the other night, actually.
Well, it was different, and Taylor talked about playing him through the other night, and I think you give him more of that rope as he shows you that he's earned it.
Jason, thank you very much. Love having you.
Fun,
appreciate
man.
It.
Appreciate you.
We'll be listening from 11 till 2. It is Jason and John. Triumph Bank, by the way, is one of the revelations I had last year when I moved my account to Triumph Bank. Here's what happens when you join it. You join a bank, and it becomes another bank, and it becomes another bank, and it becomes – and it's sort of like – I joined this other bank 6 banks ago, and no. I'm going to take my money and my business to Triumph Bank. Actually had a friend who runs a small business who wrote me at one point, had gotten weary of the fact that his bank had changed and said, put me in touch with someone at Triumph Bank. And so I did. It is a different kind of banking experience, a kind of banking experience that I didn't know existed. Yeah, they do wonderful things in the community, which I've talked about a lot during the course of this past year and is critically important. But to be clear, what do we want from a bank? We want a bank that makes banking easier. You don't know how much easier it can be, how much more convenient it can be until you try out Triumph Bank. It is Triumph Bank, invested in the community and in making banking easy for you. We are going to take a break. When we come back, we will talk to Chris Harrington. After that, we will talk to Jason Wexler. He is the president of the Memphis Grizzlies. We will do that next. It's Jeff Calkins Show on a Friday, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Celebrating a decade as Memphis and America's very best. This is WMFS FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS Memphis, a radio.com sports station. 92.9 FM ESPN.
Maybe you've resolved to have more fun this year. Maybe you've resolved to eat better food. Maybe you've resolved to try new things. Maybe you've resolved to be present and really enjoy your life. Well, I have the answer for any of those resolutions, and it is Bounty on Broad. Bounty on Broad is delicious, locally sourced food served in generous family helpings in a restaurant that is so beautiful, it makes you happy to be alive. If you've been, you know exactly what I'm talking about. If you haven't been, it's time to change that. Go and get the crisp Brussels or the pan-seared scallops or the braised pork shank or honestly, anything they serve. My own particular challenge at Bounty is that I love some dishes so much, like the fried oysters, for example, that it's hard for me not to get them every single time. So I hereby resolve to get something new next time I go, and you should resolve to get yourself to Bounty on Broad before any more of this year slips by. Bounty on Broad is located at 2519 Broad Avenue. For reservations, call 901-410-8131 or go to bountyonbroad.com.
Did you know nearly 40% of men under 40 and over 75% of men over the age of 40 experience sexual performance concerns? At the Memphis Men's Clinic, their experienced physician performs a comprehensive evaluation that determines which specific issues may interfere with your sexual performance. These issues can vary in range from anxiety to medical issues, low testosterone, or erectile dysfunction. The Memphis Men's Clinic has evaluated hundreds of men of all ages over the years and reestablished
established a normal sexual life. The Memphis Men's Clinic will work aggressively to resolve issues and allow you to restore your sexual health and overall well-being. That's the Memphis way. If you're 20 years old or 90 years old, come and get cared for the Memphis way. Treatment that's based on your specific needs after a professional clinical evaluation by their experienced board-certified physician. Call the Memphis Men's Clinic today at 901-443-0475 or visit memphismensclinic.com.
It's Howie from Robert Irwin Jewelers. What is your New Year's resolution this year?
I'm going to trim it down. I'm going to trim my inventory down. I'm going to trim my waist down. I'm trimming it all down.
How much?
Oh, I think I got it about a good 30 to 70% off anything that's in our jewelry showcases during our Santa surplus sale, and it's going on right now.
And with Valentine's Day just being a month away,
it's a great time to go shopping for engagement rings, especially at a great price. You got to get to Robert Irwin Jewelers, get free financing, sale going on at all locations. You can't get this online, folks.
Reckon we ought to find a spot to watch the Irishman versus...
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.